Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline. And for those of you who want to call in, we can be reached at 347-326-9949. It's a great day here in Atlanta, a little bit on the cold side. I was in hopes that this global warming was going to be here by now, but this is as cold as where I grew up in Boston. We've had a very cold winter, and it isn't really getting a whole lot better. All right, I've got Mitch Swain, who's running for the 10th district in Georgia, on the line, and he is running for the 10th congressional seat, which is Athens, Georgia, where the Bulldogs play down south all the way almost to Macon in the right-hand side of the state. Mitch, how are you today? Richard, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Well, I thought Mitch was too, but evidently not.
Well,
Mitch, are you there?
Can you hear me, Jack? Jack, I'm in Greensboro County. Well, we're in Greensboro County, so if you've not experienced the cell reception down here, it's a little spotty. So forgive me for fading in and out on you.
Tell us just a little bit about Greensboro County, Georgia, which is something I've only lived here most of my life. I'm not sure I know where Greensboro is.
Well, right now we're just south of I-20, and this is where Lake Oconee is located. So it's a nice little resort community. Reynolds
okay,
Plantation,
so you're in
such.
Greene County. You're down there. Now, this might sound like the Ozark in the woods, folks, but it's not. They have a Ritz-Carlton down there on the lake, and this is where people that are rich and affluent come to Lake Oconee. Is that right, Mitch?
It is. Yeah, I'm driving down there hopefully to meet a few nice people tonight and speak at their meet and greet tonight. It should be me and Senator Paul Brown, well, the candidate for Senator Paul Brown.
Well, you know, and of course, this brings us to really the heart and soul of the subject that I'm in hopes of us talking a little bit about today, because it seems to me as if the greatest concern that we have is how can we stop the Obama agenda? Now, one of the ways is by taking the Senate, which requires six seats, a plus gain of six seats. And honestly, there are 21 Democrats up for election and 15 Republicans. And I think that our chances of doing that are very good. The other is something that is a little closer to what you're doing, and I want to ask you about it because I think that it's a very fair question for people about whether they want to make a decision to support you or not. And that is, there's going to be either Speaker Boehner is going to retire, or he's going to face some pretty stiff opposition from, you know, the young lions who think that he's just a little too cozy with what's going on in the Obama administration. And I want to know, what do you think about this, and how would you approach it, and where would you throw your support if you're elected?
Okay, and throwing my support in which way? Whether the speaker should stay the speaker?
Yes, or okay. Someone. The one that people are talking about the most is Trey Gowdy right now, which I don't know that he would even want to do it. He's just very vocal and articulate, you know, but he's also very young for that. Who knows? I think Eric Cantor would be the one that would want to, the Republican establishment guy, who would be the one that wants to take Boehner's place. But, you know, this is a little speculative, but I think it's a fair question to ask somebody who's running for office.
No, sure. Eric Cantor's a fine guy. There's a lot of bright men up there. Obviously, you nailed it on the in the few remarks you just made, that in order for us to make any advance way there, we do have to take over the House and the Senate and have enough presence in the Senate to be able to overrule any veto from President Obama to make some headway with our agenda. The other reason I had to get someone younger and like an Eric Cantor is that we've just reached the point where we need to have some discussion, compromise with the other side to actually get some of these items accomplished. You know, as I go around doing my own campaigning, I learned that some conservatives are absolutely so dug in with their positions that they refuse to budge, and they're just going to stay to the far extreme right. And as we talked before, we listened to CPAC. If we're going to win the wider discussion on conservative issues, then we can't expect to win every war. We have to lose a few battles on our terms. Like, for instance, the amnesty thing that I discuss. I have six opponents with me. There's seven of us running for this congressional seat. And to a person, the other six all want to be able to build a wall and send the immigrants back. That can never happen. And they are aghast that I would actually think that we could get a pathway to citizenship for them and allow them to pay their way. So we need to start stop digging our heels in and start trying to reach out and compromise on a few things so we can win the
– You know, I agree with you. I see these people post these things, particularly about Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell and John McCain, and saying, you know, that they're rhinos and we need to get rid of them. Boy, that seems pretty harsh to me, to be honest with you. I don't think it's a good idea. And personally, where it comes to, you know, Lindsey Graham in particular, I think he has been the champion at trying to find out the truth about Benghazi. I don't think any senator that has put himself on the line like Lindsey Graham has. And I applaud the man for that. And it shows character and determination to stand up to that kind of stuff. And truthfully, Mitch, I agree with you. What do you think, Dick?
Well, it seems to me that you have, you know, the young bulls and you have the old bulls. And I think you need a little bit of energy.
Here we are shooting the bull. And here we are on the radio shooting the bull.
Full of bull. Jack, do me a favor and give the phone number. You know, there may be some people out there that like to call and ask Mitch a couple of questions, too, just besides you. So
I did give them the phone number, 347-326-9949. I can have three live. Anybody that calls, I'll put you in the queue. But you know, we do have some limitations on Blog Talk Radio. But that's the bad news. The good news is about Blog Talk Radio is that people can listen to the archived versions. You know, which I always post on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. And we actually have more people that listen throughout the week than actually listen to the program live, which I think is very interesting. It shows that there's some people that you know that are very interested in what's going on. And you know, of course, we're backing Mitch for the 10th, and hope that people will get on board because this is a seat that can be taken, and The guy that has it right now, Brown, is probably the leading candidate, you know, for taking the Republican nomination for the Senate seat, which is he's going to be running against Sam Nunn's daughter.
Michelle Nunn. Yep.
Yeah, and they will position Sam Nunn's daughter as here, this is, she's out of the same mold of a guy that served Georgia well, that was an expert on the military, and that, you know, and he was a decent senator at a different time in our history. Now, a vote for Sam Nunn's daughter is a vote for Harry Reid and Barack Obama to continue their dismantling of the American military in the face of Russian aggression. There's not been a president since Carter that has been willing to do that. Not one. Anyway, Mitch, go ahead.
Well, he was certainly Sam Nunn. I remember studying him. He was a brilliant man with foreign policy. And, you know, that was a time when we actually stood for liberty and freedom, you know, and exported those ideals to other countries. And as we've discussed in the past, you know, today we talk about economic prosperity, security cooperation, regional partnering, and that confuses the enemy, you know. And right now, well, my biggest concern is that with Putin expanding in Europe, he could challenge Article 5 of the NATO Treaty, and actually what would happen if he does attack or invade or anything to a NATO partner country. I'm not sure that the European Union and NATO are willing to go, you know, into a ground war with Russia. And so that's one of my biggest concerns.
You know, everything in international politics, everything is linked together. And, you know, I just earlier brought up about Lindsey Graham being the champion in trying to find out the truth of Benghazi. But let's just use that as an example. When this happened, the very first thing that if I were just, you know, let's just play, you know, the devil's advocate here. I'm going to say I'm Putin. And I'm sitting back, and this thing starts to happen, and the first thing that I notice is that the commander-in-chief is AWOL. Nobody knows where he is. Nobody knows what he's doing. They insulate him, and to this day, nobody knows what he knew and when he knew it. But he did not send anybody to rescue his ambassador or other innocent people. Now, if I'm Putin, I put that in the back of my mind and say, okay, the decisiveness that was the hallmark of a guy like Reagan or even George Bush, and certainly Eisenhower and Kennedy, and even Lyndon Johnson and Nixon, isn't there in our present commander-in-chief. Then, the next day, he and Hillary Clinton go out and lie about this YouTube thing, going so far as to buy ads in Pakistan to convince the people that this was all about this YouTube thing, using not their money, but the American taxpayers' money to propagate their lie. And then, 2 full weeks later, Obama goes before the United Nations, every ambassador of every nation in the world, and lies about it again. Now, if I'm Putin, I'm saying, this isn't a man of character. This is a feckless leader, and he will not budge on and be straightforward and get out there and do what he needs to do. Therefore, I see this man as weak, and I'm going to take advantage of it while he's in office. So now, until he's out in 3 years, I think that that Russian aggression is going to be a real problem in the world. And, oh, just by the way, Sarah Palin and Mitt Romney were right, and all the people that laughed at them were wrong. All of the great intellectuals were wrong. Anyway, I wanted to say that. Mitch, go ahead. I don't want to take the time.
No, that's fine. No, but serious thinking people, you know, if you go back and look at my website at swanforamerica.com, you're going to see a world assessment video I do for 1 hour back in November And I walk people around the world and show them these things. And we discussed Russia back then, even in my own videos, and showed the precarious situation we're in. Now, you know, there's other events that cause nations to do this. It's not just one man's ego. You know, we have to understand that the ruble is very weak right now. The economy of Russia is weak. You know, he's trying to do better by his people. And right now, nationalism in Russia is very, very high. And so, you know, they've done a lot of propaganda. It's true that the propaganda today is higher than it was in the 70s. But they, out of necessity, need to try and expand their nation. And many things of the Soviet Union era seem appealing. And so those are options that they have to explore. Certainly, if they could, you know, break NATO in some fashion where NATO doesn't push back, that could redefine the relationships in Europe, because we've got France, Germany, Italy, Spain. All these sovereign debt issues have threatened these alliances. At the same time, you mentioned great leaders, Reagan and such, but we also had a different financial situation back then. You know, we weren't war-weary from nearly 14 years of war and as broke as we are today. I think Reagan had like a $3 trillion deficit. And today it's, you know, over $17 trillion. So there's a lot of differences there, too. I think one of the things I'm concerned about is just the apathy of our own nation. You know, we have almost become apologetic, at least half of our nation, and we have to understand that the world will have a world policeman. It needs to be us, but if we choose not to assume that role and be isolationists, as many libertarians would feel, and it's not a bad argument, but understand somebody will assume that role, and it will be China. And we are not, when we stand up to Putin, remember, he has friends too, and so we're standing up against countries like China, who could sell all their U.S. treasuries and really put quite a hurt locker move on us as a nation. So anything we say that we wish to do in response, there will be other consequences. In my debate the other night, we've had two debates now, Jack, since I spoke to you, and I've done extremely well in each one of them. And, you know, this came up. Someone, one of the other candidates said, let's put sanctions on Russia. And everybody thinks that's great and wonderful, and let's all applaud. And other candidates will support that. And I say, well, what's going to happen if we do put sanctions on Russia? And then to return counteraction, Russia starts importing more into Syria and Iran. What are we going to do then? So, you know, those are consequences we have to think through. So Russia's a desperate nation right now. Europe's weak. They've got some weak relationships and weakening ones because of their financial situation. And quite frankly, the weakness the Americans are seeing in our own nation abroad is directly related to the gluttony and spending that we have tolerated as a nation. We are more focused on trying to balance the budget in order to make entitlement payments than absolutely setting long-term goals for our nation. Because that's what budgets do. This is who you want to be in 5 and 10 years. If you want to be a nation that's smart, you fund science. You fund NASA. You do space exploration. If you want to be a nation of strength, you fund your military. But if we're just trying to make payroll and keep the lights on, then we'll never be a great nation again because, you put the money towards those things that you value. They become your priorities. And I don't think many of us know what our priorities are as a nation.
Well, I know what the budgetary priorities are of the Obama administration, and that is for increased welfare payments and decreased military. So in a world that is becoming more dangerous, we are retreating with the current administration, and the welfare rules are expanding exponentially, and nobody knows what all of the Obamacare will do as with it. I mean, it's, you know, it's just beginning. Let me just ask you real quick. In the race, there's seven of you running. It's a horse race, and you know we're rounding the turn. Where are you? How are you positioned?
Well, I would say if you looked at the last two debates, people are, if you go by applause, because they're not doing polling, what you're finding is people hear me now. They have never heard me before. And I don't want to say I'm having like Sarah Palin moments, but remember when she first came out and none of us knew her, and she made that first speech, and you're like, wow, I want to hear her.
You're not as good looking as Sarah Palin.
Not by a long shot, but what I'm finding is that people like to hear me talk, and they start to follow me around to my other speaking engagements. You know, I believe it was
That's
my first
good.
Debate that led to this invitation tonight to come to this nice meet and greet down here in Greene County. But people are hungry for intelligence and hungry for people that know what they're doing and not just intentions or rhetoric. For instance, just Tuesday night we had a debate, and I was the only one that supported earmarks. And everybody else said, oh, no, I don't support those, and we're not going to do earmarks. Well, at the end of the day, I just looked at them, you know, Tea Partyists, you know, applaud those lines because they, you know, we're not going to, you know, support earmarks. Well, at the end of the day, if I'm a congressman from my district and everyone in my district has paid federal taxes and sent money up to the federal government, it is my duty as a congressman to try and bring some of that money back to my constituents. Why would I ever take that as an option off the table? Because if we're not going to try and find ways to grow our own districts here in Georgia, believe me, someone else will build a bridge to nowhere. But even more dangerous, and this is the part people don't think about, if I don't take over and control the purses of Congress, the president will, and he's still going to give earmarks to his cronies or his favorite projects, but we, you know, he'll be fully responsible for it. So those are things we have to look at. And plus, if I'm trying to close the Department of Education and some rural district in some other state needs earmarks because they just have such a floundering education system, of course I would vote to help them get that in order to get rid of the Department of Education. We're supposed to negotiate. That is the art of politics. But when people say, I'm going to go into my job and leave one of the most valuable tools at home, I am stymied. So, but Jack, you know, they're waving at me. I think they want me to come into this speaking engagement. I'm sorry that we did not make it to the top of the hour, but
That's good. Listen, our purpose here is to help you because, we can't change the world, but we can change one district if we get Mitch in there. So, Mitch, we'll let you run now, and we'll talk to you next Monday night, and be sure and tell us how everything is going.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Be blessed. All right, Dick, stay on the line. All right, as we are talking about this stuff and about, you know, what is going on, in Washington, I'm absolutely appalled ability of this administration to just put good money after bad. How, if you are elected, if you take the oath of office and say that you swear to protect and defend, how do you dismantle the military when the Russians are being very aggressive, when the Iranians are being very aggressive, the Chinese are rattling their swords, and the North Koreans are, you know, I mean, they're so crazy, they just said they landed somebody on the sun. Did you know that?
No.
They believe they've landed somebody on the sun. I mean, I don't think you could get within 50 million miles of the sun without anything any of the elements that we have without them burning up. But, you know, who knows? That's how crazy they are. And here, you know, it's all about, you know, fluff. President Obama doesn't go to his national security briefings. He didn't go to them, you know, when Benghazi was happening, when the Syrian chemical weapons thing was happening, or when the Russians were taking over the Crimea. He didn't even bother to go to the briefings. So how do you know what's going on if you won't even accept your own intelligence, which is coming from somebody who really doesn't have a lot of sense anyway, Susan Rice, but, you know, I don't see how that works. I don't see how he can know what he needs to know to make good decisions. Not that he makes good decisions, but he doesn't even have the information to do so.
What do you think?
Well, he has found enough time to make sure that he filled out his bracket. He makes sure that he has enough time to get onto all of these television shows. He definitely made sure that he made arrangements to go to Martha's Vineyard again this summer. So he has his priorities. They're just not the priorities that this country needs or wants. I mean, my God almighty, this guy has spent more time on vacation than playing golf than he has to try and do anything that made any sense whatsoever when it comes to the Ukrainian situation, even the sanctions. I mean, my good God, the Russians that he put the sanctions on were laughing at it. Oh my God, I can't go to America on vacation like I wanted to. Now, did you also hear today the owner of the Brooklyn Nets is moving his company back to Russia? I don't know what that means as far as the team is concerned, but he may fall into the same pond that Obama's in, that he will be looked on unfavorably, and he may not have an awful lot of people show up at his games, though they don't win that many anyway.
So are two of the guys that we think the most of in this entire world, Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, might not get their paycheck, nor Joe Johnson, nor...
Well, no, they'll get a paycheck. It'll only be in ruples.
Goodness. Isn't this so bizarre? And yet, this... One thing you got to say, we absolutely, positively have some of the most interesting politics in the world with what's going on. And I remember when I very first started Jack Watts Live thinking, what in the world will we be able to talk about after, you know, the very first election? But goodness gracious, it's like we have to limit the topics. But in just one other thing that, you know, that I want to point out as we're discussing this, because we're going to hammer this for the next 6 months, and that is there's one way to stop the Obama agenda, and that is to get rid of Harry Reid by electing 6 more Republicans so that they have 51 Republicans and 49 Democrats. If that happens, that will put a stop to what Obama is doing better than any single thing. Now, what does that mean? It means we got to hold on to Georgia. It means that we've got to take North Carolina. It means that we have to take Louisiana. It means that we have to take Arkansas. The empty seat in Montana and in Nebraska, and take the seat back from the Democrat in Alaska. And we also may be able to win in Minnesota and get rid of that damn fool, Al Franken, the buffoon of the century, and maybe even in Colorado. So there's some good things that are happening, and we're going to talk about this because, and for everybody here in Georgia, if you vote for Sam Nunn's daughter, it's a vote for Barack Obama, no matter what. It's a vote for Harry Reid, no matter what. All right. Now, Dick, let me just let you say the last word, and if you want to tell everybody how badly your teams are doing in the NCAA bracket, it's all right with me. But we got about a half a minute.
Well, I just looked at some of the teams that are playing each other, and a lot of your teams are playing each other, so you're going to be eliminating your own teams by your own team. So I'm just going to sit back and wait to see what happens in the long run. But you know what? I don't really care. It kind of takes my mind off of Obama and the other malarkey that's going on in this world. At least,
doesn't it? Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Listen. Let me wind this up and just say thank you, Richard, and God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night, everybody.